Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this is sort of a special show for Sukkot. I am not recording it at my usual time. It's actually now Erev Sukkot, which would make it Yom Shlishi, Tuesday, the 13th day of Tishrei, corresponding to October 7th. The Hebrew year 5775, which we began not too long ago on Rosh Hashanah. So I don't know when the show is going to go up on Arutz 7, but it's available on OU Radio. Obviously, if you're listening, you know where it's available. And from the Torah Tidbits website, www.ttidbits.com. You scroll down a little till you find Torah Tibbetz Audio. I always leave the previous show, which would be the Yom Kippur show, and this new one for Sukkot. Are we straight? Yes. So, since we don't say Tachanun from after Yom Kippur, technically from Erev Yom Kippur through the rest of the month of Tishrei, we will do Tehillim 121, Psalm... Mix the Hebrew and English there. Psalm Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yaminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'yareach Balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmor Et Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Tzeitecha Uvoecha Me'ata V'ad Olam. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omedim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem V'yotzieim Mitzara Lirvacha U'me'afela La'ora U'mishibud L'geula Hashta Ba'agala U'vizman Kariv V'nomar Amen. Okay, where to start? Let's start with an old famous question, and that is, what happened on the 15th of Tishrei? If that's a hard one, you'll see why I'm bringing it up. What happened on the 15th of Nisan? We came out of Egypt and we celebrate Pesach. What happened on the 6th of Sivan, sort of? We got the Torah, and it's Zman Matan Toratenu, and it's the holiday of Shavuot. The world was created, specifically the sixth day when humans were created, corresponds to Rosh Hashanah. The message of forgiveness from God after the sin of the golden calf, the new set of tablets after the ones that Moshe had broken, was on the 10th of Tishrei, the first Yom Kippur. Chanukah has a date with something happening on it. Purim, something happened on that date. In modern times, Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. Sad things, Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Tevet, Shivasar B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, are all dates on the calendar, which we either celebrate or commemorate in some other way, which correspond to something that happened on that date. When you ask the question about Sukkot, you get sort of a silence because it's not easy to answer. There happens to be one opinion of the Vilna Gaon that does pin a specific event to the date, but it's not the same as the others. I'll mention it later. The basic answer is nothing specific. And that makes Sukkot kind of unique. So I explain and understand Sukkot, I should say I understand and explain Sukkot, in the following way. Picture a machine into which we will put various holidays, and the machine will process them and extract the simcha, the joy, from the mixture of feelings and emotions that the holiday has. Watch what happens. We take Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, 15th of Nisan to the 21st of Nisan, and put it into the machine. Turn it on, press a button, whatever. It churns and churns, and what comes out from a mixture, what do I mean by a mixture? We were slaves in Egypt, and there are terrible stories associated with the period of slavery, and they are mentioned and discussed at the Seder table, and that's not a happy mood. Of course, we came out of Egypt to freedom, and that's happy, but there's always the wondering of what's going to be with us now when a person is freed or people are freed from a difficult situation. There's sort of a little bit of nervousness, at least, of what now? At least we knew where we were sleeping and what we were eating. And now we don't know what's going to happen. So there are a lot of emotions that are associated with Pesach, specifically because we're commanded to relive the experience. But there's joy there. Take the joy, don't take it away from Pesach, but filter it out when we're putting it into this machine, and make a 7-day holiday on the 15th day of the other first month of the year. First month officially is Nisan, but Tishrei is also a first month of the year. And you've got the beginnings of Sukkot. It clearly is a commemoration of Yetziat Mitzrayim, because the Torah tells us, dwell in Sukkot for 7 days. Why? Lema'an yedu dorotechem, so that future generations will know, all the generations will know, kiva Sukkot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael b'hotzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I set them into the protection of Sukkot when I took them out of Egypt. So it's another Zecher Liyetziat Mitzrayim, on the other side of the year. But a lot of parallels between Pesach and Sukkot. Just to give you one example, the eating of matzah at the Seder definitely has certain halachic correspondence to the making hamotzi and eating the first piece of bread, challah, at on the first night of Sukkot. There are things to show in parallel, but it's different because it's the simcha part without the other baggage. Now take Shavuot, giving of the Torah, receiving of the Torah, great joy, but the joy is mixed with a trepidation. For example, God lifted Mount Sinai over the heads of the people of Israel and said to them, if you accept my Torah, fine, and if not, this is where you're going to be buried. There's that commitment that goes along with receiving the Torah that mixes feelings together with the simcha. Put it into my machine and filter out the simcha part and add it to the 7 days of the holiday that we're building now in Tishrei as an atzeret. An atzeret is an extra day of gathering. And you know what? Let's call it Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, because in essence that's what it is. So we celebrate receiving the Torah sort of twice in our calendar. Once on Shavuot, which is called Atzeret, and it is not exactly added to the very end of Pesach, but just like there are 7 days of Pesach, and we start counting the Omer, so it's seven sevens, and Atzeret Shavuot is at the end of that period. So the 7 days of Sukkot are followed by Shmini Atzeret, which in Israel is also known as Simchat Torah, and outside of Israel, because of the 2 days of Yom Tov, the first day retained the name Shmini Atzeret, and the second day has the name Simchat Torah all by itself, but that was just a convenient kind of way of doing it. So now we're building this holiday. Let's go one more step. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Days of Awe, Yamim Noraim. There is a joy in there. Yom Kippur is called one of the greatest and most joyous of Yamim Tovim that Israel had. The other one is Tu B'Av. This is based on the last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit. But the joy is definitely overshadowed by the awe, by the feelings of judgment and heavenly books of life and death open before God. We don't even say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah for that reason. But there is joy there. Put it in the machine. Pull out the joy. Again, don't take it away from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but copy it and add it to Sukkot. Specifically, but not exclusively, to the seventh day of Sukkot, which we call Hoshana Rabbah. And that day has a lot of parallels to the recently observed Yom Kippur. The Chazan wears a kittel. The tunes of the davening are from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The concept of Chatima Tova, Zochreinu Lechayim, and Chotmeinu B'Sefer Chayim is expressed on Hoshana Rabbah too. It's considered the culmination of the judgment period that began way back at Rosh Hashanah time. So you now have a composite holiday which has the 7 days of Pesach copied into the other side of the year. It has the 1 day of Shavuot copied into Shmini Atzeret. It has the joyful part of the Kapara of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, into it in a joyful context. And now the question is, what should we call it besides Sukkot? We have other names for the holidays. So Pesach was called Zman Cheruteinu, the time of our freedom, appropriate, and Shavuot is Zman Matan Torateinu, the time of the giving of the Torah, also appropriate. And what shall we call Sukkot? Don't think that our sages had nothing better to call it than Zman Simchateinu, because that's the best thing to call it, the time of our joy, the time of our composite joy, even on an agricultural basis. When you begin the planting and you have your first crop, they're still wondering what's going to happen in the next upcoming months. Sukkot is Chag Ha'asif, the festival of the ingathering of the harvest, and the battening down of the hatches and the tarring of the roof so it won't leak during the rainy season. And it's a culmination of both the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and a culmination of Yamim Noraim. If you take a look in chapter 23 of Vayikra, which is known as Parshat HaMoadim, which is the bulk of the Torah reading on the first day of Sukkot, in Chutz Laaretz also on the second day of Sukkot, on Pesach, all over the world, including Israel, the second day of Pesach, it's a review or a presentation of the whole cycle of the holidays. You find that Sukkot is presented twice. You have Rosh Hashanah, first you have Pesach and the Korban Pesach and Chag HaMatzot and the Omer period and Shavuot. And then you have sort of a little divider in there with agricultural mitzvot reviewed. And then you have Tishrei, the seventh month. The first day is Rosh Hashanah. The tenth day is Yom Kippur. The 15th day is Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim, seven-day holiday. And that's the culmination of the Tishrei section of the holidays. How do we know? The following verse is Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Otam Mikra'ei Kodesh Lahakriv Yishael Hashem, etc., etc. These are the holidays of God that we declare. So we're done. Not quite. The Torah continues with another presentation of Sukkot, more in completing the cycle of the three pilgrimage festivals, where it already was presented as the culmination of the days of awe, the Yamim Noraim. Ach b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i. However, or but, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you gather in the harvest, tachogu et chag Hashem, it's not even called Sukkot here, you celebrate the holiday of God, 7 days. The first day is Yom Tov, the eighth day is Yom Tov. On the first day you take the Arba Minim, which we take the entire Sukkot, Zecher Lemikdash, and then Basukkot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, you dwell in a sukkah. So the first time it was called Chag HaSukkot, and here you have the command of the four species and to dwell in a sukkah. And then you have another concluding line, Vayedaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe spoke the festivals of God about them to the people of Israel. So Sukkot, rather than being, or let's say having, its own individual identity, is the culmination of Yamim Noraim, the culmination of the cycle of the festivals, the composite of the simcha of all of the holidays, and it makes it very, very special and unique. We'll talk more in a moment. But before I continue, I want to play the other musical clip, if you could call it that, which you really can't, that I wanted to start the show with, rather than Bernie Marenbach's Saxophone of Safat, which is a lovely album of klezmer kind of music, and that was a piece from his medley on Freilich, and appropriate for Zman Simchatenu. But what I'm going to play now are the sounds that we are hearing in certain parts of Yerushalayim. I would say very personally that if I open my window, I hear it because it's happening right around where the Israel Center is. I'll let you listen first and then I'll make a comment. Sorry, I hope that didn't sound to you like a siren, because it wasn't. It was Formula One race noise. And we're having 2 days of Formula One demonstrations or whatever. Traffic is messed up in the area of the Israel Center. Many streets are closed off for a bulk of the day. And there was an editorial this morning in the paper saying that it's nice to have something like that, but wrong choice of time. The period between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, specifically these 2 days of, yes, Sunday right after Yom Kippur, but more Monday and Tuesday and not so much Wednesday, Erev Yom Tov, are extremely busy shopping days of all kind of things, and streets are jammed as it is, and buses are slow as they are, and now a whole bunch of bus lines are diverted, and trains are overloaded. So there has been criticism of the choice of when to have it, but there's a lot of hype about it, and not that it interested me that much, but I did hear the engines really revving up the revs, whatever, and I wanted to share that with you as a sound of today in Jerusalem. Okay, back to Sukkot. I have in front of me a Sukkot checklist that I prepared. It has 25 items. We're not going to get to all of them, but I will pick and choose. When I give a shiur on the topic, I hand them out and people call out numbers, and we could address the things that they're looking for, but I'm going to try to do somewhat justice to the items on this list in the second half of the show. I also will start the second half with a song, a clip. I haven't decided yet which one. It could be, well, we'll see. But the second half will definitely start with a track from an album. After it's over, I'll tell you about it. And that's the story. Now, let me just briefly introduce the whole thing in the following way, especially for listeners out of Israel. In Israel, we have one day of Chag, which is Wednesday night, Thursday. Friday is Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days. Shabbat is Shabbat Chol HaMoed. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are, and Wednesday are Chol HaMoed, Wednesday being Hoshana Rabbah, and then one day of Chag, the eighth day of Sukkot, which has its own identity of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. When we finish the song on the second side, second half, I will tell you about Chutz La'aretz and the differences.
Ashreinu, Ashreinu, Matoy Chogeinu, Umanoi, Goyro Leinu.
You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Sukkot, and I'll tell you why I chose that song. I spent a lot of time, maybe too much time, before the show looking for music, and I know that I have Sukkot-specific songs and Hallel-specific songs, but I was browsing through on a file manager and looking at my musical piece, and this struck me. It's from the daily prayers in the morning. One of the first things that we say. A lot of people skip over that section. But if you say it, it's really a beautiful kind of thing. And it fits, in my opinion, to be used for Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. Ashreinu can either mean we are happy, or we are fortunate. Happy are we. How good is our portion? That's Ashreinu. Matov chelkenu, our portion or our lot. Uma yafa Yerushatenu. No, skipped one. Uma na'im goralenu. And how lovely is our fate? Umayafa Yerushatenu, how beautiful is our heritage. That's an attitude which a Jew has or should have about everything in Judaism. The specific context of this is not as important as the message of a Jew feeling happy and fortunate to be a Jew. The context happens to be Ashreinu she'anachnu mashkimim u'marivim erev v'voker. We are happy and we are fortunate that we say in the morning and in the evening, twice every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. That's something to be happy about. Not that other people don't say that or don't believe it or whatever, not the point. I'm looking at the whole composite. Sukkot has a universal flavor to it, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Israel is deluged with Christian visitors at this time of year, and they have their own way of celebrating and observing. And that's not my point. My point is that being Jewish and observant and sensitive to the observance and to everything that happens, you sometimes can pause in your busy day schedule and say, I'm happy to be a Jew. I'm happy to believe in God. I'm happy to follow Him. I'm happy to listen to His Torah and to venerate His Torah and everything that comes with it. I thought it was appropriate for Zman Simchatenu, Ashreinu. Okay, now let's take a look or a listen to some of the items I have on the Sukkot checklist. The first one is between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which is exactly when I'm recording this. Now let me put it this way. Sukkot crashes in on us so soon after Yom Kippur that your head spins. Why wasn't it spaced out a little bit more to give us some breathing room to get back to normal? Exactly the opposite. It was put right on top, almost, of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time, so that our heads would spin, so that we would be busy immediately after Yom Kippur. Many people put up their Sukkot before Yom Kippur, but many people wait for right after Ne'ilah, right after Shofar blowing in Ma'ariv, after Havdalah, before they even sit down to a meal, maybe they take something to drink, and they're already starting or continuing on the building of your sukkah. The days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are filled with preparations for the holiday. That's the buying of the four species, the building of a sukkah, the inviting of guests, the planning of a menu, the everything that goes into it, the mood after Yom Kippur should be rubbing your hands together and saying, I don't want to get back to normal yet. I have a high from the prayer and fasting of Yom Kippur, and I want it to segue into a joyful period of mitzvah upon mitzvah. And that's the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. I'm not going in order. I mean, I'm not saying everything in here, but I have another one item that's called 7 plus 1 or 8. Sukkot is presented in a slightly unusual way, where the Torah says, you shall have a seven-day festival. The first day is holy, and the eighth day is holy. Wait a minute. Back at Pesach, it fits better. 7 days you shall observe Pesach. The first day is Yom Tov, and the seventh day is Yom Tov. Okay, I understand that. Here, it's 7 days you shall have it. Yom Tov on the first day, and Yom Tov on the eighth day. Now, if you know what we have in the calendar, then you know how it is. But Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, has a dual role to play. It is the eighth day of Sukkot. But not really, because we leave the Sukkah after the 7 days, as the Torah says, Basukkot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. We don't take the four species, Lulav, Etrog, Hadassim, and Aravot, after the seventh day. But it becomes a culmination of Sukkot, which means that Sukkot includes more than just dwelling in the Sukkah. It brings you out of the Sukkah into this special day that God asked us to linger and observe with Him, so to speak. On the other hand, it's its own holiday. It has its own Shechiyonu. It has its own name, Shmini, Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeret HaZeh, or Yom Shmini Chag Shmini Atzeret HaZeh. And the Torah reading is different. Is it really? Yeah. And, well, here in Israel especially, but in Chutz Laaretz also. I didn't explain that. I left the first half with Eretz Yisrael, but I want to mention the Chutz Laaretz issue as well. Of course, it has its own reading. We'll get there in a moment. Hold that thought. Let's go back to the Chutz Laaretz. There is a custom of long ago to observe 2 days of Yom Tov outside of Israel. The original reason is no longer applicable, but we have a concept called Minhag Avotenu Biadenu, the practice of our predecessors is in our hand, and we continue it. I don't want to go into the whole thing. It had to do with an uncertainty as to which day Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was, and an adjustment of the holidays. Bottom line, in Chutz Laaretz, outside of Israel, Wednesday, that's tomorrow from when I'm talking now, is Erev Sukkot, just like in Israel. People in Chutz Laaretz should make an Eruv Tavshilin, which we made on Erev Rosh Hashanah, all of us. We don't, in Israel, make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Sukkot, because we have only Thursday Yom Tov, and Friday is Chol HaMoed, which is permitted to cook for Shabbat without an Erev Tavshilin. Next week, Simchat Torah is Thursday. Friday is a regular day, Isru Chag, and that prepares for Shabbat without the need of an Erev Tavshilin. In Chutz Laaretz, there's an Erev Tavshilin coming up Wednesday, Erev Sukkot, and Wednesday, Hoshana Rabbah, Erev Shmini Atzeret. So I don't know if that explains it, but you end up with 4 days of Chol HaMoed, the fourth day of that being Hoshana Rabbah in Chutz Laaretz, 5 days of Chol HaMoed Sukkot in Israel, the fifth of those is Hoshana Rabbah. There are slight differences in the way we daven Musaf, what we say. We don't have to get involved in that. Just know that sometimes I talk about what we do, not realizing consciously that there are people outside of Israel who are listening to this show as well. The next item on my list is Man Simchatenu. We took care of that. Chag HaAsif, the festival of the ingathering of the harvest, I mentioned briefly. The mitzvot of Sukkah, let's spend a little bit of time on this. Matzah on Pesach is something you do with your mouth and your digestive system. That's part of the body is involved in the actual performance of that mitzvah. And most mitzvot, the reading of Megillah, you use your ears, and the blowing of shofar, you use your ears, and what else? Okay, think of your own examples. Tefillin you put on your arm and on your head. Partial body, and that's us. We have many parts, and many of the parts get involved in the doing of mitzvot. Sukkot is almost unique in that it is a total immersion of one's body in the observance of the mitzvah. You can't do Sukkot in parts. Basukkot teshvu shivat yamim means to move into the sukkah for the temporary period of the 7 days of Sukkot and live there whatever you do. Now, a lot of people, especially out of Israel, eat in the sukkah and sleep at home and do other things at home. But the ideal, which I will tell you, is much more attainable in Israel than almost any other place because of the weather. I have fond, I put that word in quotes, memories of freezing in a New York sukkah, and my younger brother wearing earmuffs and a scarf and gloves, and getting kicked out of the sukkah by rain. One year there was a windstorm and half the sukkot in the neighborhood were demolished. And I remember the rabbi of the shul went around to paskin for each family. Yes, you could eat in this portion of the sukkah that's still standing. No, the whole thing is puzzle. There were sukkot that were transported half a block away from where they were originally set up. In Israel, it's not always perfect weather for sukkot, but by and large, in 30 years that I'm living in Ramat Eshkol, it wasn't so easy in the first couple of years that I was renting someplace, but in my own home, 30 years, I've not missed a night in the sukkah. I try to do everything in the sukkah, and that's the beauty of it. If you want to read the newspaper, and you have a choice of your recliner in your living room or a chair in the sukkah, do it in the sukkah. You want to play a game with your child or grandchild, do it in the sukkah. You want to take a nap, do it in the sukkah. Obviously, not every sukkah is amenable to these things, but that's a goal. The goal is a total immersion, and this to me fits very well with the mood of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We don't want to do things partially. We want to do them whole. I said before that Sukkah is unique. I said almost unique in this fashion, and that's because the other mitzvah that involves a total immersion of the person, not talking about mikveh, which is not in this list, and there are reasons, but the other thing that I'm thinking of is living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Israel. There is a lovely link between Sukkot and living in Eretz Yisrael, specifically because these are the two mitzvot that you're totally immersed in. Let's go from one to the other. Sukkot, you come into the sukkah and you're getting ready for the first night's meal, and you look around the sukkah and you say the introductory Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon, whatever, and you're conscious of the sukkah. And you make kiddush, and you sit down to drink, and you wash for hamotzi, and you make hamotzi, and you're eating. And then the meal proceeds, and there's discussion around the table, and all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, you are in your dining situation, and it's only a little bit of a technicality that usually you do this in the house, and now you're doing it in the sukkah, because you could almost forget. But then you look up, and you see the schach above your head, not a roof, not a ceiling. And you're supposed to take a moment's pause to reflect on two dimensions of the mitzvah of sukkah. One is commemorative of the heavenly clouds of glory that protected the people of Israel during their wandering in the Midbar, in the wilderness. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, which I mentioned earlier without telling you what he said, is of the opinion that the 15th of Tishrei is the day that the heavenly clouds of glory were restored, returned to us, after the sin of the golden calf and its aftermath. And therefore, Sukkot, in a way, is a celebration of receiving this special gift from God of the protection of the heavenly clouds of glory. The other opinion says, when the pasuk, when the verse says, Kiva Sukkot Hoshavti et Bnei Israel, we're talking about actual temporary structures, tents, lean-tos, little booths, or whatever. And both of those are important dimensions of one's thinking and feeling while he's in the sukkah. Now the meal is over and you bench, and some people go into the house, but you stay, and you open up a chumash or a machzor, and you take a look at the Torah reading of the next morning. And maybe you have your children there, some of your children, guests, or whatever, and you discuss different aspects of Sukkot. And now, you play a game in the sukkah. Mitzvah keeps on going. It's not over. When you eat matzah, not that I am putting matzah down, it's a wonderful and very important mitzvah in its day. But once you chew and swallow a certain amount of matzah, according to different opinions, however much it is or not, once you swallow that portion, you are done with the obligation of eating matzah. It's optional. And of course, since you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, that's what you eat. And you're happy about it or whatever. It's part of the celebration of the day. But it's no longer an obligation. Sukkot continues to be an obligation no matter how much time you've been there and what you've done. And I tell people, carry it further. You finish the game, the kids went elsewhere, you open up a book to read, and you doze off. That's a mitzvah too. It's like the only mitzvah, or one of the only mitzvot, that you can accomplish, fulfill, by falling asleep. Usually that ends your consciousness and terminates whatever mitzvah you were doing. Not sukkah. And not living in Eretz Yisrael. And just like you need to pause to reflect on the schach and on the mitzvah of sukkah, every so often, I've been here 33 years, and I still take an opportunity every so often to stop what I'm doing, to take a deep breath of Yerushalayim air and contemplate the fact that I have been privileged to live in the land of Israel and fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael for these 33 years. And I ask God for as many more as He'll give me. So you need that, because life becomes a routine. It happens in the sukkah just in the middle of a meal. It happens living in Israel all day long, because it's normal. This is your life now. But to remember that it's living in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a mitzvah every moment, every breath that you take, mitzvah to live in Israel, and during Sukkot, mitzvah to live in the sukkah. V'haya b'shalem sukko umo'onato b'tzion. The Vilna Gaon darshans on that. V'haya b'shalem. What is complete? Sukkot, one's sukkah experience. Umo'onato b'tzion, and his address in Zion. Okay, I just looked at the time, and I'm more than 2 minutes over time. Got carried away there, but I hope you got something out of it. We did not get to this list too much, but you'll have to get it someplace else, so we'll do it next time. Let me wish you now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and take away some of the song to keep it to 23 minutes, this half. But let me wish you a Chag Sameach, a Gemar Chatima Tova, Shabbat Shalom, and Lehish Tameah.